Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Back to the book of Malachi, back to a study of God's complaints against his people brought through the mouth and the pen of the prophet Malachi, in the last book of the Old Testament, to the last prophet who received the word of God to declare to the people until the coming of John the Baptist more than 400 years later. Now we're coming today to verses 10 and 11. It says, "Who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. For from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts." It is an intriguing text. I hope you will find it as interesting as I have, as we make our way through these two verses, that tells us essentially that no worship, listen to me now, no worship is better than corrupted worship. No worship of God is better than corrupted worship of God. That is a startling statement. It is an unacceptable thought to many people. But I think that's exactly what this text is teaching, and so we'll look at it more carefully. Thank you for joining me on this Thursday, September 19, and of course we can do so because some of you help us with the costs of buying airtime on this and other stations. Well, we are back in the book of Malachi. The time frame is after the return of God's people from Babylonian captivity, and enough time, several decades have passed for them to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and to resume the Levitical priesthood and the sacrifices and all that was going on. But the problem is that the worship of God has degenerated greatly by both priests and people. The ceremonies prescribed by Moses were being observed, but they were being carried out with defective animals, blind and lame and sick, and dishonoring attitudes toward God. Oh yeah, they were bringing animals and sacrificing them on the altar, but they were unacceptable sacrifices, unacceptable animals, according to the words of Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And the hearts of the people, far from being reverent and worshipful and honoring toward God, were just the opposite. And so, God sent a prophet by the name of Malachi, whose name means my messenger. What a fitting name for a prophet. And God sent him to arouse and warn and call the nation of Israel to repentance and to labor at restoring them to a proper spiritual condition. But the prophet Malachi was met with indifference and skepticism and argumentation. He would tell them what God said, and they would object. They would contradict. They would challenge. We don't see the evidence for that. And so it would go from one complaint to another. And it has struck me, as I've studied this book, that so much of what is going on in Malachi's day is very similar to what's going on in Christianity in America today. This book is highly relevant. And so Malachi, after repeatedly failing to arouse proper concern in Israel, drops several verbal bombshells. And we're going to examine two in verses 10 and 11. And I'm going to do this by asking questions. Question number one, what is better than corrupted worship? Now, the answer to that would seem to be simple. What is better than corrupted worship is proper worship, God-prescribed worship, heartfelt worship, obedient worship, right? That's better than corrupted worship. Well, yes, it is, but that's not the answer that our text gives. And then the second question is, who will honor God's name? And of course, the normal answer to that would be, well, his people will, Israel will, they are his people. And again, that is not the answer that we find in the text either. So, to answer these questions from the book of Malachi, we are going to have to examine the text. And we start with verse 10. Remember, the question is, what is better than corrupted worship? And here's the text. Who is there even among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. Now, this text has sometimes been misunderstood and thought by some to be an indictment toward or an indictment of covetousness. This statement, who is there even among you who would shut the door so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? Or the original King James says, kindle fire on my altar for nothing. It sounds to some people like he's saying to the priests, what one of you is willing to carry out your priestly duties for no financial gain? You're not even willing to open or shut the doors of the temple unless you get something financially out of it. That's what it sounds like, particularly in the King James. I'll read that to you now. And that's how some have understood and I think misunderstood this text. Here's what the King James says. Who is there, again, speaking, God speaking to the priests, who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught or for nothing? But if you happen to be looking at a King James, you'll notice that those words for naught are italicized, which means they're not on the original. They've been added by the translators, but they are not part of the Hebrew text. But that's what it says in the King James Bible. Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for nothing? Neither do you kindle fire on my altar for nothing. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. So that seems to be saying you priests are so covetous that you won't even do the simplest religious duty unless you know that there is financial gain involved. And this is one of the reasons why it's very helpful in your study of God's Word to compare several reliable translations. Now let me read that same text from the ESV, English Standard Version. I have also read how it is translated in the New American Standard Bible and in the NIV, and all of them are very similar. I have simply selected the ESV to bring to the microphone today. And here's what it says. Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will not accept an offering from your hand. The last part of the verse is essentially the same, but it is that first part that, translated in a way that I think is more accurate, actually, conveys an entirely different meaning than one that is misunderstood from a more clumsy translation. But again, here's what the ESV says. Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. That's that word for naught, in vain. And what is it saying? God is saying, where is the person who will have the courage to shut the doors of the temple so that fire will not be kindled upon my altar in vain, that is, meaninglessly, in an empty fashion? In other words, stop these sacrifices. Stop these sacrifices of animals that are lame and blind and sick and ought never to be offered to God. I'd rather somebody shut the doors of the temple so that nobody can come in and offer these sacrifices. I'd rather there were no sacrifices at all than to continue this corrupted, abominable, disobedient, God-dishonoring worship. That's what this is saying. Who among you has the courage to confront and destroy apostasy? Who among you will stop the activities of apostate religion? That is what is being said. It's an appeal to the priest to close the temple and lock the doors so that nobody can get in to worship God. Because, as the last part of the text goes on to say, God does not accept corrupted worship. Back to my New King James. Who is there among you who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? Now, that translation becomes more clear in the light of the other one I read. And then it goes on to say, I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. God does not accept corrupted worship. He is not pleased with it. He will not accept it. These sacrifices that you are making upon the altar of these defective animals and with your sinfully corrupt heart attitudes of dishonoring toward God, God doesn't accept any of this. You're going through the motions. You think you're offering worship to God. You're not, because it's improper worship. It's disobedient worship. It's apostate worship, and God doesn't accept it. Worship that is corrupt is not acceptable to God. He prefers no worship to corrupted worship. Who is there among you who will shut the doors of the temple and stop this from happening? Worship that ignores God's word, it would be better not to be done at all. Worship that contradicts God's word, it would be far better that it not be carried out at all. Worship that is conducted insincerely in hypocrisy, it would be far better that it not be conducted at all. Worship that is an outward pretext for inward unbelief and disobedience, God would rather that not be offered at all. And so the question is, what is better than corrupted worship? And the answer is, no worship is better than corrupted worship. Better to shut the doors of the temple and have no worship at all than to go through the motions of this God-dishonoring, disobedient, corrupted worship that does not please God, does not honor God, and God does not accept. Wow. That's what the Bible says. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.